Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I'm pleased to share with you an interview, part one of a multiple part series with a dear friend and I don't even know how to describe her, but a very passionate food activist and somebody who has spearheaded the non-GMO movement, Leah Segedie. Leah is the founder of Mamavation, and that is an online community of women dedicated to weight loss. I believe, if I'm correct, we talk about it in the show, this group lost a total of over 3,500 pounds collectively from when the program first launched, and Leah shares those details as well as her personal weight loss story in this first part of the interview. She's also the founder of ShiftCon, which is a social media conference featuring some amazing brands that are really dedicated to making very clean, pure, organic, non-GMO foods that you can really feel comfortable giving to yourself and your family. As I mentioned before, she's a passionate food activist. She has been part of, and I'm just going to say, helping to lead this non-GMO movement for years and years and years, well before I ever tuned into why this was important. She's also a social media consultant and just a very busy woman. But I think you guys are going to love many parts of this interview. Today specifically, we talk about Leah's initial weight loss journey, which so many of you moms in particular are going to be able to relate to. What I love most about this story is it's not an overnight success, and I think she's going to be able to share so many tips, real life tips from real life experience of losing over 100 pounds and keeping it off, that so many of you moms, new moms, maybe second, third time moms who are having difficulty getting motivated or having difficulty losing weight will be able to relate to. Please enjoy this interview with Leah Segedie. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and I have on the line with me a dear friend, somebody who is one of the most influential folks on the planet, and somebody who cares deeply about the issues, as I shared in her intro, that she's fighting for, and that's Leah Segedie. Leah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kelly.
I'm so excited. And by the way, we'll reference this in the show notes on Fitfluential Radio, but Leah and I just got to spend some time together. It was our first face-to-face for a while.
It's been forever since we've seen each other. Yeah, I know.
We actually saw her. Leah told us about this Escobona conference, which was amazing. We'll link it up in the show. I was so blown away by the people. I heard Robin Baldwin talk for the first time ever, blown away by her. And it was just an amazing experience. So Leah, number one, it was great to see you. Thank you for sharing that with us. We're excited to join in this movement and start educating and building awareness with you. Well, let me dive right in, you guys. Again, I think you're picking up on the fact, and I mentioned this in the intro, Leah and I have known each other through social media. She's one of the folks I met, like many of the guests we've already had on the show, early on the Twitter. We always say on the Twitter because that's what people used to call it back
on
then.
On the Twitter,
exactly. And it's funny because in the early days, even though, you know, she was running her own blogger network, I was thinking about, you know, building mine. And we were both in the, you know, fitness, nutrition, weight loss space. You know, it was funny because Leah and I would always run into each other at industry events. And she had started down, which we're going to branch into in a second, she had started down this path of really paying attention to food quality and nutrition and was worried about things for herself and her kids. And she would see me, and this was before I had started my transformation that began last year. As many of you have heard, I started bioidentical hormonal replacement treatment last year. And that's when I started to realize all of these things that do matter, like what you put in your body, what you're drinking, But the funniest thing is that when Leah used to see me, I usually was on my probably 17th Diet Coke of the day. I probably had some sort of a power protein bar that was like rock hard in my hand. I probably, you know, or I was like fasting all day and doing some Burger King at night. And she would see me and she would give me such crap. She'd be like, Kelly, and I don't know, you would say it was tongue in cheek because you knew you were not, like, I was just rolling my eyes like, oh God, Leah's coming. She's going to tell me. And I try to hide my Diet Coke, you know, and then like Chris Brogan would walk by and go, she has a Diet Coke behind her hand. And I'm like, what? And it was just always awkward. And people, and then I would be catching crap because people would go, I can't believe the CEO of Fitfluential is drinking Diet Coke. You know? I'm like, funny. The also, just for context, is you and I have always, we've been friends, and we just had this position of like, I'm like, look, I respect where you're coming from. Yes. I'm not there.
Yes.
And so we, you know, I don't want to suggest we were like frenemies.
No. So God, Kelly and I have loved each other forever, but we've had like, we've been side by side, like really complementary with a lot of things that we're doing. Cause when I moved kind of away from fitness to more lifestyle, that's when you like dominated in fitness and everything. So it's kind of like we've moved around each other, but we've always been helpful. We've always been helpful of each other and supportive of just the sisterhood that we have in social media and empowering women. And that's what I love about you, Kelly, is you're similar in that regard, where you get that we need to hold each other up to get where we need to go.
Absolutely. And you know, we'll probably have some of these gals on the show, but there's a whole legion of us that, and you all started before I did, but Barbara Jones, Jill Petty, all of those folks that have their own networks and have done just great jobs. They're such amazing, powerful women that I have such mad respect for. And yeah, we don't steal business from each other. We help each other. I've called all of you and you've given me advice.
Right.
So it really is. I mean, and that's something I always want to have women on the show that are amazing. And we rise by lifting others. I don't just believe that's a cute Instagram phrase. It's true.
It is really
so
true.
So enough of the, you know, gushing love. People are like,
this is
most of the people. Well, there's going to be some people listening, but there's a lot of folks that are listening that maybe they're going to, you know, look you up before they get on the show, or they haven't heard of you. They're like, okay, this is somebody in fitness. So tell us about your initial weight loss, how you got interested.
So, I mean, it starts with me over 10 years ago, and I was a size 24. So if you can imagine how big a 24 is, you're at the point where you don't fit in a theater seat. Your butt is literally too wide to fit in. I had to like move to the side. I was petrified to get on an airplane because I would have had to buy two seats. I was petrified to leave the house just because people would stare at me. That is where I started. And so the weight loss, I think at the end of the day, it's like 114 or 117 pounds is how much I lost over the period of 2 years when I did it. And it's not so much the weight loss that's inspiring about my story. It's more of the reason why the weight loss happened. And that is my story about the why, is what women that follow me have been taught in my community. And how they're empowering each other. And that why has to do with, I became a mom and I looked into my son's eyes. And this was after I had the baby. This was after you're supposed to have gotten rid of the weight loss. It's after all of those things, like down the line. And I looked into my son's eyes and I asked myself, what kind of mother do I want to be? And when you're that size, when you're that big, it affects you because people treat you differently. You know, you get passed over for jobs. Some people don't even want to talk to you because they don't like fat people. It's, your life is different than someone that is smaller. And it's really hard to understand unless you've lived in that world, or and that's been your perception and you've had to grow up like that. I was always the big girl. Like, I think there was two big girls in my entire elementary school. This was, I mean, being overweight when I was a kid was not a normal thing. So it was me and one other little girl I remember, and we were the chunky kids that, you know, would get picked on and stuff like that. So when I looked into my son's eyes, what I said to myself and what spoke in my heart was, I just want him to be happier and I want him to be healthier. And I knew that had I been healthier, a lot of the problems that I dealt with, you know, like social problems and things like that, were about my weight. And if I could only get over that hurdle with my kids. And looking back, looking at me, all of a sudden gave me this, an amazing amount of like desire and will to do something greater than who I was. So, you know, my whole life, it was like, you know, I would protect other people from things. But, you know, when it came to my own personal self, I would take more abuse. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the person that will throw myself in front of a train for another person. But if it comes to me, it was harder for me to get the motivation to fix things. You know, I'm good for others. So at that moment, I needed to have something to inspire me to be greater. And I had it with my children. So when I lost all that weight, first of all, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And I had no idea I would be able to lose as much as I did. But what I really wanted to do was start off that lifestyle very different, because I knew that if my lifestyle changed, his life would be different. So that's the moment by which I said, role modeling. I will role model this behavior for him and he will take it in, because it will be a lifestyle. You know, it will be part of what he sees. It will be, you know, mommy does this. She doesn't just say it, but she does this, you know, so it's an understanding of how life is. It's going to change his life. I knew that's what I had to do. So if you, when I started, I was really, you know, a size 24 is really big, but I have a condition called hip dysplasia. And most people understand that word only because dogs get it. Like they have a little dog or a medium-sized dog and the dog has hip dysplasia and the dog can't walk and the dog gets fat and yada, yada, yada. Well, I may be one of the few people that actually has hip dysplasia in a human. It's genetic. My mother has it as well. It gives me the ability to put my legs behind my head. I'm very bendable and flexible, but it also, which is interesting and why I probably have three children, but logistically, if you get overweight, I know, do you know how I just kind of glossed right over that and you totally started giggling? So the cool thing is, yes, I'm flexible. The bad thing is, you know, my hips are angled in such a way that the bigger I get, the harder and the more it hurts to walk. So when I would walk at that size, it would start hurting right away. And I don't have as much cartilage in my hips as other people do. So it's like kind of bone grinding on bone. That first 5-10 minutes is excruciating pain. You walk through it, it gets better. So that was what I was dealing with when I first started. And that type of pain kept me on the couch and kept me getting bigger and bigger and bigger, if you can imagine. So getting through that pain, just I would say to myself, you know, over and over again, nothing easy is worth doing, because I knew this is going to be a very difficult thing. And I just told myself, if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth it. This is a lifestyle change. So I kept saying that to myself, and I would walk around the condo. That was literally all I would do at first. And I didn't have a crutch or anything like that. I know there's pictures of me in a crutch, but that's after I've hurt myself and hurt my hip one day. You know, I was walking around and I have all that pain and then I would get better. Well,
okay, Leah, so we've heard the beginning of your weight loss story. And one of the things that I love so much about your story is that it is not this extreme weight loss transformation that happened in like 2 weeks. I think you and I both agree there's just far too much of that proliferating on the social media channels everywhere. So you have a great story that, hey, this didn't happen overnight and you went through several progressions. One of those was with your food and what you ate. So tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I ended up losing weight really quickly by walking around and cutting out my diet soda. Why we have this thing. That was one of the first things I did, is I got rid of my diet soda. So, and it was a diet soda, Kelly, which is like, that tells you like where my mind was going. You know, I didn't know at that time that diet soda makes you fatter. I had no idea about that. I just knew it probably was not good for me. So I cut it out, you know. So those were, and then fast food. I didn't eat fast food. I used to eat fast food. Like when people talk to me about McDonald's, they don't seem to realize how much McDonald's I have consumed in my lifetime and how much Jack in the Box. Those were like my two go-tos, you know, Jack in the Box and Diet Coke. Like I don't think I used to drink water. I think all I would drink would be Diet Coke. It was like an all-day thing for me. So, you know, this is like a big, huge change for me. And I only made manageable changes at the beginning. And it's like manageable. I can just skip the fast food, you know, skip fast food for breakfast and dinner and however I'm doing it, because I was so busy. And then walking, you know. So that is how I started. And, you know, just those simple acts, I started losing weight right away. And what really got me was, once you're in that momentum of going forward, then you're like, oh, I can do a little more. So literally in my head, I said to myself, let me just lose 5 pounds. I just want to lose 5 pounds. When I got to 5 pounds weight loss, I literally was standing on my scale. I remember this. this. I was 5 pounds down. I was butt naked because I didn't want to weigh any jeans or anything, you know, standing butt naked on my scale, jumping. And then I saw it jumping up and down. I was so happy. And so at that moment, I realized, okay, I need to make these little goals because they really make me feel good. So I just said another 5 pounds and another 5 pounds. I never gave myself a goal like 40 pounds or 80 pounds or 100 pounds, not even once. It was just smoking. I was focusing on those little tiny goals. So it starts walking. And then I went to Curves because Curves was really cool, you know, for someone who needed low impact. And then, you know, I did Weight Watchers to start. And that really helped me understand a low glycemic impact diet, which is what I kind of ended up on. I didn't stay forever. I stayed with Weight Watchers like probably 6 months to 7 months. And then I kind of got it and didn't need it anymore and fixed things. So when people ask me, what did I eat? I really basically, you know, I understood very quickly that if I added more vegetables to my meal, I could eat a lot more. So I did those types of things. I had small plates, you know, but it started off with processed food up the wazoo.
Okay, so the next best part is where we get to talk about one of my favorite things, how you took your working out up a notch, because you and I are both huge, huge fans of something very similar. Tell us about that.
With the activity, I ended up doing Tai Bo, which I love. And the reason I loved it so much was it was such an efficient form of exercise for me, because not only was I sweating and having fun, but I was learning kind of like martial arts moves, and I love that stuff. So it really clicked with me, and it made me feel very powerful and very empowered, those movements. So it really clicked with me. So I literally was watching VHS tapes with Billy Blank. So that gives you an idea of how old the tapes were that I had, and just fell in love with Billy and Shelley, you know, and Joanne on the side, you know, just kind of cheering me on. And I literally lost weight that way, and it was like 114 or 117 pounds. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I went from, you know, a 24 to a size 6 or 8, and I'd never been that thin in my entire life. In fact, I would take pictures of myself, and I would glance right past myself and not recognize myself in pictures. It was the weirdest thing. So when you've been so big for so long, and then people take all these pictures, you see a skinny person in the crowd, but you don't recognize yourself. And still to this day, I do those kind of things where I see pictures of myself and I'm like, whoa, that was me. Okay. Which is really interesting. But, you know, the weight loss story is, you know, kind of how I found my empowerment is what I would really call it. And I found my power when I was working towards something greater, you know, working towards something that meant more. And being able to change my life and do that for my children was really powerful for me and really empowered me to do better things and be happier.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. Leo, one of the things that is remarkable about your story, and I love sharing this with our audience, is, you know, you started off talking about you wanted to lose weight and become healthier for your children. And then it became actually something bigger, which is how you ended up founding a community and an actual weight loss blogger network, if you will, Momovation, that has had extraordinary results. And that has been both wonderful for other women, but really fulfilling for you. Tell us more about that.
It's the interesting thing. the lifestyle of wellness is just such a chill, happy lifestyle because, you know, we get exercise, it takes care of our bodies, we're happier, we're avoiding endocrine disrupting chemicals, we're doing all these things. And it's just like, you know, it's amazing once you start doing it and the things that come out of it. So, and a little bit about my weight loss is when, you know, I lost all that weight, it was when I was staying home with my son. And I thought that I could stay home with my son and just do that. And what I didn't realize was I'm the kind of person that if I don't have something to do, I get kind of crazy, stir crazy, and I get a little depressed. And this happened to my mom. When I was younger, my mom had to go back to work because she just got depressed and she needed stuff to do. So in a similar sense, I didn't want to go back to work. So what I did was I kind of started a hobby. You know, I created a website for women who are into fitness, healthy living, and weight loss. And the community was about empowering you to role model healthy living for your children. And that was the only point of it. And most of that was disease prevention, weight loss, all of those things that we can do, role modeling eating behaviors and, you know, weight loss and activity and all those things, and not focusing on the word weight loss, but focusing on lifestyle in a sense and impacting families. And, you know, this is when the obesity epidemic was growing in crazy proportions. My story resonated with a lot of women. I was written up in Ladies Home Journal and, you know, Fitness Magazine, Shape Magazine. People really discovered me after, you know, my story was really told and I started up my site. And I organized communities of women online. And we had a lot of, that early time, we had a lot of pediatricians, nutritionists, you know, fitness professionals that wanted to write for us. So we had a lot of professional content. We had groups of women that were very like targeted. You know, we were finding the exact groups of women we'd need. Most of the women that we worked with were kind of around my size, you know, than what I remembered. And working with these women, never ever do I look at them as a person who has a weight problem. They're just a person to me because I'm the same person as them. And I think having that story and meeting them where they are and, you know, helping them with all of their challenges over the years is what's really grown a thriving community that, you know, I still benefit from today. But it really does come from that part of me that understands that I do better work when I do things for other people. So if it's role modeling for my children, you know, or it's, you know, looking out for a community or putting their needs before my own, I'm really good at those types of things. And I'm really empowered by that. And also when we talk about empowering other women, you know, that comes from a part of me that really believes in a big picture focus, that this is what we need to do to have a better world, you know? And so I started up a platform called BookieBoo.com. And then later we moved to a campaign called Momovation. And my idea behind that was just being motivated as a mother to do better, you know, and being innovative as a mother, but around health and wellness issues. And what we did was we organized the first virtual boot camp for weight loss. And we would send out these calling all cars, who wants to apply? And women from all over the United States would apply that were influencers. And what we would provide for them is a 7-week boot camp where they had a pediatrician, a dietitian, a personal trainer, and me and my staff to keep them accountable as they changed their life in 7 weeks. And they did it at home and they did it in their own environment with their family. And we did that campaign 2 to 3 women, 4 times a year for 5 years. And between the women that lost weight and that workshop that we did every year, plus the entire community kind of joining along with the ideas and the themes and the plans and what we were doing and how we were inspiring others, we totaled up 3,500 pounds lost of all those women. And being part of that means that I'm a very unique person to understand how weight loss happens, you know, what is the motivation behind it, and how to really understand how to motivate a mother, you know, how to motivate women to look into their hearts and be more, you know, but not for themselves, but for something greater, for the family. Those are the kind of things that I talk about. So, you know, empowerment as, you know, taking time for yourself and doing all that stuff, I think is important. But at the end of the day, my motivation is not self-motivation. You know, it's not based on what my needs are. It's always based on what a bigger picture for me. And that's just kind of how I live my life and how I'm motivated. And a lot of women that have children and families feel very similar about things. And so it's kind of plugging into that you know, that pinpoint of where's the spark and finding the spark. And we've been able to do that over the years. And so, you know, the weight loss story is, you know, at the end of the day, over 100 pounds. I maintained that weight loss for like 8-9 years. You know, I did, we've worked with thousands of women, doctors, you know, trainers, nutritionists, authors, celebrities. You know, we've done so many things in social media. And while that was happening on the side, people also know me as someone who organizes and consults. I have a network and firm, and we have a blogging network of over 10,000 bloggers. The interesting thing is, it doesn't matter who you are, what side of the blogosphere you live in, you probably care about how big your butt is. So from the 10 years of my life, you know, and working online, my community and the people that I have been around, they're from all walks of life. So the network I have has, you know, a ton of them. Most of them are mom bloggers, but they do different niches, you know, so that's like they do DIY or they're green or they're fitness or they're lifestyle or they're foodie or they're this or they're that, you know, and some of them are on board with the food movement. Some of them are lukewarm with the food movement. You know, we've just got all sorts. So, you know, there's also that going on in the background. My weight loss story will segue later to, you know, perhaps ShiftCon. I have a social media conference for the green niche, and maybe a couple of things that we're doing, but I'm sure we'll talk about that in your next segment.
You and I could talk all day.
I know. We really could talk all day. It's so
serious. We are seriously going to, Leah's going to be, because when I realized we did our first recording, we actually had to record it over because of some technical issues, but we had so much that we can address first and foremost from Leah's weight loss story, which I'm going to bring up a couple of fantastic things you just said in that story that we want to maybe we'll wrap up this first segment with today and then give you a sneak peek of what's coming. But yeah, she's going to be back on the show because it is interesting that, as I alluded to in the beginning of this show, I used to be that person that was still doing a lot of these things that so many of us are, you know, drinking the diet soda all day, you know, artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, not getting what's organic. Why is that important? You just want me to spend more money. It's more expensive food. I don't, you know, I've segued and now I get it. And so we want to help the movement that Leah has been a foundational part of. And we're going to address that. Leah, your story is extraordinary. I mean, and again, for everybody listening, I think this is a good time for us to wrap up part one with Leah, because there's so much that we have yet to talk about, which is how Leah became involved in really issue advocacy for, you know, food, the labeling movement, the non-GMO movement. That's really something that, of course, we feel a strong alliance with here at Fit Influential Radio. But just to wrap up what you've heard today, you know, this is a woman who decided she was going to become healthier for her children, lost over 100 pounds and has kept it off, has a remarkable story of how she just took baby steps and then founded a company, Mamavation, that has helped, you know, so many women lose, as you heard here, a total of over 3,500 pounds. So glad we got to have you on the show, Leah. I'm so excited to have you back. There's just so much energy here, and I love people getting to hear from you and learn from you. And I want you all to tune in, because we'll have Leah's part two and probably part three, four, five, and six, where I'm going to be talking with her more about how she got started in this, again, issue advocacy, where she really took the ball and ran with it in this, hey, we need proper labeling on our food. And this non-GMO movement has Leah Segedy written all over it. And it's something that we certainly want to bring to your attention and educate you on. So thanks for tuning in today. This was part one of my interview with Leah Segedy. Tune in for part two, again, probably three, four, five, and six. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.